time to Follow the Money with your hosts, Mitch Moss and Polly Howard.
Welcome into the program. It is Follow the Money here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with JVT filling in today for Polly Howard. And as always, we are live in downtown Las Vegas. Circa Resort and Casino is your spot. Bruce Marshall on Euros 20 coming up in about 5 minutes. You know what's great about soccer? There's a match on right now, Sweden and Slovakia. And because of the way it works, Bruce can't come on until 5 after. But yeah. Soccer, they tell you 6 o'clock is when we're going to get it going on the pitch. It is 6 o'clock on the nuts every single time. Bam, here we go. Game is underway already.
Yep. It is, well, and that's with all these other sports, like with the hoops and 6:30. I'm not tuning in until like 6:45.
Of course not. Nope.
I don't. There's pregame. There's all this sort of nonsense. I love the fact that it is this timely. I'm totally down with this.
Okay, so here is the giant sigh of relief that we can all take. And I, you know, just like you never want to see the best players get injured. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see anybody get injured in sports, obviously. But the MRI performed on Mets ace Jacob deGrom came back clean yesterday, so that's great news. But with that said, and JVT, Humans and I kicked this wrong yesterday, I'd still have him miss at least one start. I would say, you're going to, right? Take it easy. I know you're going to go through your routine, and people might disagree with this and say if he's going to go through his routine and he's fine, he's got to get back out there every 5 days. I don't think you want to chance it again because he left his two starts ago.
Right.
He left after six innings, didn't have a zillion pitches, had 10 strikeouts because of some pain, comes back, then had 8 strikeouts after 3 in his last start. Had to leave with that tendonitis in the arm and in the elbow. So, okay, he's going to avoid the IL stint the way it appears. That said, if you're the Mets, he's such a valuable commodity to your entire organization this year and for hopefully many years ahead. Sit him down and just say, you know, maybe late June, maybe early July, you can make another start.
The way he throws, the velocity which he throws.
Oh, God.
You're up 4.5 games in the division right now. This is the time where you skip a start, right? This is where the time you put him on the shelf for a little bit of rest and you allow him to get it done because, you know, your offense and your lineup has been doing what they need to do. And right now, it looks like you're the best team in that division. Why not allow him time to get rested and ready? Because now this is, like you said, these are two different scares that you've had with him at this point.
Yeah, back to back.
That are relatively similar in terms of what the issue is. I'm sitting back and I'm going, take a break, bro.
And he missed a couple of starts earlier on in the season on top of what's now recently happening with Jacob deGrom. And yeah, they're 4.5 games up the Phillies. I guess, like, who's going to make the run here against this team? I've been saying the Braves now for like a month and a half, but they're still 4 games below .500. The Phillies warming up? Boy, Zach Wheeler's a guy to watch, huh? Like, yeah, if something happens to deGrom, another guy that'll be in the Cy Young mix.
He has been absolutely great. My pick was going to be like the Phillies, right? They take the 2-3 from the Atlanta Braves, last week. They go to New York. They take the weekend set as well. They were competitive against the Dodgers, even though they lost the series. Philly seems to be warming up a little
bit. Could be that team.
Yeah.
There. Yeah. Nationals, they're too far up against it, I think, this year.
Yep.
And certainly the Marlins don't have the parts.
I was going to say they don't have the hitting. The pitching, they have it, but the hitting is just not there.
Yep. All right, so Follow the Money here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, JVT. Up next, Bruce Marshall is going to join the program. 3 matches today in Euros 20 and also matches over the weekend. Who does Bruce like? We'll ask him coming up next.
This is Brent Musburger, and here is your VSIN Action Update. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Russell Henley at 4-under-67 is the clubhouse leader to the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines. He is 33-1 to win the tournament. Louis Oosthuizen, 4-under-par through 16, is plus 750. John Rahm at 2-under-par, plus 550. Brooks Koepka, 2-under, plus 750. Xander Schauffele at 2-under, 10-1. Lefty liability fading for Vegas sports books. Phil Mickelson, 4-over-75. He's 250-1. A couple of teams down 3-2 in their conference semifinal series. Favorite on the road today. Philadelphia laying 3 at Atlanta. Jazz, 1.5 favorite at the Clippers. Be sure to check out our new betting splits feature on vsin.com. Before you place your next bet every day, we're posting the latest splits for games, the current odds, and what percentage of bets and money being placed on each game. Go to vsin.com and check out the betting splits plus live odds, line moves, and game analysis. Makes vsin.com the best place to visit before your next bet. With your action update, I'm Mike Sena.
Get the latest VSIN odds at VSIN.com. And remember, cashing tickets is what it's all about.
is a new feature that we have on the website, VSiN.com, that's really, really cool. Every day we're posting the latest betting splits on every game in the major sports with current odds and what percentage of bets and money are being placed on each game. Check this info daily to find out which games are seeing the most tickets written and if that matches the money coming in on those games to help you find a betting edge. And, of course, we have all of the odds, data, and analysis for every game as well. Start your next sports bet at VSiN.com. Three matches today. The Euros 20 continue, obviously, over the weekend and for a long time to come. Bruce Marshall is great on soccer, and he joins the program now. Brucey, it's been a while. How are you today, sir?
Hey, pretty good, Mitch. How you doing, man?
Doing well, doing well. Okay, so this game just started, you know, 5 minutes ago. Did you like anything here between Sweden and Slovakia? Maybe something to keep our eye on with in-play betting?
Yeah. Let's see if Sweden has any possession of the ball today. Now, they're not playing Spain, so you'll see something better than 85-15 in possession time here. Slovakia surprised me a bit in the opening match. Came out with a win in its opening match against Poland. So keep an eye here early on if Sweden gets some possession and can get out ahead. They can hold a lead pretty well. So first goal wins here, I think, and this is going to be a tight battle as they just kicked off in this one.
Bruce, I'm curious your thoughts, because you mentioned the possession discrepancy. How damaging a draw was that for Spain in terms of getting out of this group and allowing Sweden to grab that in terms of a point?
It could be. I still think Spain will win this group. They didn't have a shortage of chances in that game. Now, the difference with Spain now and the Spain teams that were winning these tournaments a few years ago, no Fernando Torres and no David Villa. Villa in particular, I think, was really made Spain different. He was the incisive striker that they had, and he scored the sorts of goals that Spain teams have generally had trouble scoring in these big sorts of tournaments. Nobody has really replaced Torres or Villa in particular. However, that can change quickly, and they didn't have, they weren't spoiled for chances in that game. They had chances. I also like the fact they got the ball right back from Sweden whenever Sweden, had possession in that game. They did beat Germany 6-0 not too long ago, Spain. So I still think Spain could be a dangerous team coming out of this group. They are playing all these games down in Sevilla in this round, too, so I think they will end up advancing.
Okay. How about the game that we have coming up at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, and this is Croatia against Czech Republic?
You know, I think the draw price is interesting here. You'll be kind of seeing a desperate Croatia here after losing the opening match to England. There's still the remnants on this squad of the World Cup finalist a couple of years ago with Modric and company. But the Czechs look kind of interesting in that first game against Scotland. Schick having that goal from midfield was something else. But this is one we haven't had a lot of draws yet in the Euros. Price here, 225 plus 230 on the draw. I might look draw in this one. I could see 1-1 in this matchup.
Okay, I like it a lot. You know, our buddy Nigel Seeley, Bruce, across the pond, he is absolutely freaking out over the game today with England taking on Scotland, and obviously he's a huge England fan, but they're huge favorites. They're like laying minus 335 in the game, I believe, and Scotland's around 10-1. Do you have anything here in this matchup between these two clubs?
Mitch, I think England's going to win, and I would maybe look at the spread here because you wouldn't have to lay, the price would be close to even money, lay a goal and a half with England here, but I think Scotland... We saw the problems it's going to have scoring goals in the opening match against the Czechs, and that one they lost at home at Hampden Park. So now having to go down to London to play this, and this is a different sort of England this year. I really think this team does have a legitimate chance at winning this thing. I like the mix. I like what Gareth Southgate has done. I like having a guy like Harry Kane there, along with some of these young guys like Sterling and Sancho and some of these other guys who are able to spark this team. My one question about England is in goal with Pickford. I don't think Scotland will challenge him that much today. England will win this match 2-0, 3-0, something like that.
A lot of people obviously loved France before this whole thing started, and I mean, they were the shortest shot on the board. They were around 5-1 at some books before it all started. Are you in that same boat? Like, did you love everything about France and for them to maybe win this whole thing?
I think they're right there with you know, Belgium perhaps,
and
Belgium's right there too. Now this won't matter when we get into the next round, but when they don't have a home game to play here because they were the host side in the last Euros, but unlike Italy and the Netherlands and England, Spain, which are all playing games in the first round at home, France isn't. France should still get out of the first round here, but we'll see in the game tomorrow. They're having to go to Budapest tomorrow to play in Hungary. I don't think that's going to be that easy, though. I think France gets the win, but they're no better than a co-favorite for me, along with Belgium, I think, would be the other one I would really watch.
Yeah, we saw the talent really shine with Belgium yesterday. How about then tomorrow in the other match with Portugal and Germany? And, you know, Germany did not score against France, and Portugal obviously had those three goals late, and Ronaldo struck again in that match, and they take on each other tomorrow. Do you like anything there?
Yeah, you know, I might actually give Germany a look here. I don't think they're completely dead yet. I know they've had some problems in recent matchups coming in to the Euros here, and they lost that match 1-0 on an own goal. But there's still plenty of quality on this side. This is Yogi Löw's last go as coach. He's going to be retiring as coach after many years after the tournament here. Portugal, yeah, it was a misleading score in the first match, and Cristiano Ronaldo didn't really do much until right at the end when he scored those goals right near the end. It's like plus price with the Germany playing this game in Munich. I think I might look at Germany in that one tomorrow.
Okay. Have you noticed like any trends at all in the first week that we should keep our eyes on, like in terms of overall goals being scored? Some teams that might not have had a lot of respect coming into the whole tournament, but might be better than people expected. Anything like that at all?
Yeah, a couple here. I neglected to mention Italy earlier, Mitch. I think Roberto Mancini has done a great job, and they've won their first two matches each by 3-0. They had a great run through qualifiers. This is after they missed out on the World Cup qualifying a couple of years ago, so Italy's got things going very well. The other side I'd watch is Wales. There's some real quality there. We know what Gareth Bale can do on the international stage. You saw Aaron Ramsey, what he could do. There's remnants on this squad from the 2016 team that made it to the semis in France in this event, and they look pretty, pretty tough to me. And that was a really nice win the other day over Turkey as well. So Wales, kind of a nice long shot to do some damage into the knockout.
Very good. Bruce, we love talking to you. Love having you on the show. Let's do it again in the next couple of weeks or so to go over college football, because I'm guessing that, are you going to be making the rounds again this year and going to media days?
I think so.
Okay.
I'm all set to go down to Birmingham, where they are doing the SEC. They're going to go back to Hoover this year. Like they thought they were going to Nashville, but they're going to postpone that. But, be there in a couple of weeks.
Thank you, sir. Be good.
Okay, kids, thanks.
Yep, there you go. Bruce Marshall, Gold Sheet, VSiN contributor as well. Very, very good. Loves his soccer and dynamite at it. Here's some breaking news that we have within the last minute or so. Per Woj at ESPN, the Celtics are trading Kemba Walker, the number 16 overall pick in the 2021 draft, and a 2025 second-round draft pick to Oklahoma City for Al Horford, Moses Brown, and a 2023 second-round pick. You're kind of like, I don't know, are you scoffing? Are you chuckling?
No, well, this just tells you what you need to do to get off of a bad contract, right? And look, like Moses Brown had some stints for Oklahoma City where he was really solid. And
he had his moments.
Right, and look, what do the Celtics need? They need a lot of depth in the front court. It was one of their biggest weaknesses each of the last 2 years. Tristan Thompson isn't it. You know, in the regular season, 8.6 and 8.9 in terms of points and rebounds for Moses Brown. But this, when I see a deal like this, this is more about getting out of Kemba Walker's deal, right? And having to send over the 16th overall pick to get it done as well.
That's crazy because Oklahoma City has so many first-round picks coming up, right?
Right.
I mean, that's part of the deal with the Thunder at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, they did not even have to give a first-round pick in exchange for Kemba, and they're going to get another first-round pick?
Right.
You're spot on. I mean, this is like, I can't believe this guy's making this much money. We cannot possibly have this on the team moving forward. We got to get rid of him. I mean, on the surface, this to me, and I think Kemba Walker is a nice player, right? I am not blown away by Kemba. You can correct me if you think I'm wrong in any of this stuff.
No.
I don't think he's outstanding. I don't think he's like a perennial all-star. Not that all-star really means anything in the NBA.
Was he even going to be around? Like, is he going to be available?
Exactly right. I think he's a nice player. Right? He's good. But I do think that Oklahoma City here, to get a first-round pick and Kemba, it's not the worst thing ever, is it?
No, not at all. I mean, look, you pair him up with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, you would think a veteran like that kind of speeds up the process of the development of your young pieces in the backcourt,
right?
Overall. And like, this is what you are right now if you're Oklahoma City Thunder. You're in the business of acquiring assets and young players, right? And, I mean, look, this is the 2021 draft. So you're talking about Oklahoma City potentially having the first overall pick, the 16th overall pick in just this draft alone. What that means in terms of, and not even just this year, but let's say you draft Cade Cunningham, whatever you get at 16, that's a package later, you know, in a couple of years to acquire somebody when you feel like now you're on the verge of doing something.
Yes.
But like, think about this. Next year, $36 million for Kemba Walker, $37.6 the year after that. That's a player option. You'd assume he'd do it because he's not getting $37.6 anywhere else. Like, that's massive. And that's, by the way, that's when for a while, Al Horford was considered to be a really bad contract.
And that's right.
Now he's right back in Boston.
Going back to the Celtics now.
Right.
The Oklahoma City Thunder could not wait to get rid of him.
But clearly, two front court players and trying to get rid of Kemba Walker, there's a pretty clear motive here. And who knows, maybe they try to flip Al Horford for something.
I forgot about the Kemba deal that he signed.
Massive.
You recall the numbers on that?
I got it right in front of me. 4 years, $140.7 million.
Oh my God.
Last year, he made 34.4. Yeah, and then 36 flat, and then 37.6.
Just to be clear, I will never once ever blame a player for getting as much money as possible.
Never.
I will only look at the organization and say, what are you possibly thinking here?
Yep.
Right? I mean, and Kemba Walker, I mean, good for him making that much money. $36, $37 million is outrageous. And, you know, Chris Middleton, $178 million. Outrageous, in my opinion. Same thing with Ben Simmons. I was tagged. I never got involved in this, but I was tagged on Twitter 2 days ago. Somebody put it out there of, would you trade Ben Simmons right now for the number one overall pick? And they put up a poll question on Twitter and a bunch of responses, whatever.
If I'm Philly, like, of course.
I think if I'm Philly, I would absolutely consider that.
Right. But no doubt. I'm anybody else, why would I trade the first overall pick for?
Sure. And Cade Cunningham, again, I wasn't really like, he wasn't, to me, he was not like must-watch TV last year.
Right.
Wasn't blown away. Like, he's minus 650, I believe, to be the first pick in the NBA draft. That, to me, is nuts. Like, Jalen Suggs, to me, in the NBA, mm-hmm. Jalen Suggs doesn't fit immediately, like, into the way the NBA is played today. I think he does. Anyway, regardless of that, Cunningham for Simmons, I don't know if I would do that. If I have the number one overall pick and I can get Cade Cunningham and I don't even love the guy, I don't... Because what do you think of Simmons overall?
I think there's something there, but it also depends. So much of it is relying on him, right? Changing the shooting hand, being more willing to change your role as a player.
Yes.
Right? Expanding your game. And I think I've always been pretty consistent on this when it comes to Ben Simmons, is it's not so much, like, a lot of people are like, shoot the three. To me, it's add a shot anywhere outside of 4 feet from the basket.
Yes, correct.
That's kind of the thing. Add a push shot, add a floater, add an ability to spread the floor a little bit more.
Yep.
And that's kind of been the thing. And also, you know, shoot free throws better or underhanded, like something along those lines. It seems like a lot of the issues of Ben Simmons are a symptom of, like, a stubbornness to change yourself as a player as opposed to actual physical flaws with him.
Like this, so when guys come out in the draft, and they were not great shooters in college basketball, right? So many people always like overreact and say, this guy can't shoot, he stinks, he's not. Like, you need to be, as you get a little bit older, right, you learn that you need to give these players some time. Hell, they're 19 years old so many times now coming out. You have some more breaking news?
Yes, well, Wojnarowski is just expanding on this, and kind of like we thought here. So, by the way, yeah, $73 million owed to Walker. OKC, I forgot, they do have another first-round pick. So they have three first-round picks coming up in July, and the Thunder are expected to work with Walker like they did with CP3, Melo, and Horford to find a new spot for him. So Oklahoma City's probably not going to be the final landing spot for Kemba Walker.
Okay.
Which means more assets for Oklahoma City.
No question. And do they get will they get another first-round pick in exchange for him?
I would think not. Considering the Celtics said to ship over a first-round pick.
Exactly right.
But a couple of seconds or something like that? Whatever it is.
Yeah, my point on guys that are young who can't shoot, Got to give him some time.
Yeah.
Kawhi Leonard's a perfect example, right? Kawhi Leonard could not shoot at San Diego State to save his life, right?
Yep.
He was an awesome like rebound guy, down low on the block, that kind of thing. Look at what happened to him. He turned into a great shooter. Jason Kidd was a terrible shooter right away in his career. Give him time. It's going to be all right.
Blake Griffin.
Blake, another guy. Sure.
Added the jump shot to his arsenal. Yep.
And I said this last year, like if you made me bet on it right now, which guy's going to become a more reliable shooter from downtown, Greek Freak or Ben Simmons, I automatically said Greek Freak. Because I trust his work ethic more than Ben Simmons, right?
Yep.
And Freak's not there yet. But at some point, I think probably in the next 3 or 4 years, like, will he have an okay shot from like 15 to 23 feet? I would say probably, yeah. Better than it is right now. Ben Simmons at this point, I'm going to tell you he probably will not develop a shot from downtown that's going to be reliable.
Can you imagine if Giannis added a floater to his, like a consistent one?
I mean,
it'd be insane.
Like, it's there for him, right? I don't know if it's there for Ben Simmons. Like, it's there for Freak to take another step, which is absolutely bonkers.
Yep. Which, by the way, though, good for Giannis for not taking the 3-point shot yesterday.
Absolutely. Yes. He should not be taking them right now.
Right.
We'll go over some updated U.S. Open odds coming up next. And tee times. Golfers, you need to know where they're going today coming up.
For your winnings, cash out instantly with BetRivers' new feature, Rush Pay. Get your cash when you want it at BetRivers Sportsbook, the industry leader with exclusive bets, daily specials, odds boosts, and the most in-play betting options out there. As always, get a $250 match bonus, fastest payouts, and only a one-time playthrough at BetRivers, your hometown sportsbook. Offer valid in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Virginia, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. Available at PlaySugarHouse.com in New Jersey. You got to be 21. Gambling problem? Illinois, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, 1-800-GAMBLER. Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Colorado, 1-800-522-4700. Michigan, 1-800-270-7117. Virginia, 1-888-532-3500. Not valid in Iowa.
So, U.S. Open, round one, not quite in the books as we speak. They'll go out there on the range today and finish last night's opening round for some of these golfers, including Louis Oosthuizen, who is currently one of the leaders, along with Russell Henley. Oostie is 4 under. He's through 16, got to go finish 2 holes today to get it done. I loved it last night, watching it all the way out until like 8 o'clock out here on the West Coast. I love majors in the Pacific time zone. And we talked about this a little bit earlier. Just how West Coast is so much better for watching sports than any other spot. This is from David. FTM at vsin.com. You have no idea how terrible watching games on the East Coast of Canada is. He's in the Atlantic time zone. An hour later than the Eastern time zone, obviously. He has to DVR games most of the time, and then he'll watch them early in the morning before our show starts.
Yeah. That's brutal.
Our show is on at 8 a.m. Atlantic time?
Yeah, if that's the case, right? 7 a.m.?
He's up early. He said that he's retired. So, I believe that's what he said. Or was I confusing that with another email? Anyway.
Either way, it sucks.
That's so games for him are not starting until like 11:30 sometimes.
That's
out here on the West Coast.
That's insane.
I tweeted this out last night too. Is there a really good golf course somewhere in Alaska?
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Like right.
Yeah.
You're telling me like on a Thursday, Friday, Saturday night that if we had a major in Alaska, I don't know, Fairbanks, Anchorage, Nome, I don't know, that you're not going to stay up until whichever time zone you're not going to stay up until 11, midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. And watch this thing. And by the way, it's light in Alaska until those hours anyway.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the danger would be that you ostracize your East Coast audience to a certain extent. Like I would love it.
I think it'd be so good.
I mean, maybe
one time is all I'm asking for.
But yeah, I mean, let's be honest. The East Coast gets everything in sports. All
yes,
right?
They do.
Yeah, like let's acquiesce a little bit here to the West Coast.
Just once.
And the picturesque views of Alaska, one of the most beautiful states in our country.
Come on. Breathtaking.
Let's go. Assuming a lot of pine trees. Come on.
Tee times today. A lot of pine trees is what you're assuming.
Yeah. Just get that vibe, wintery type places.
Yeah. Bazunhuk got off to a good start yesterday. He's teed off at 7:07 Pacific time. That's coming up in about, a little bit more than 30 minutes from right now. You have Reavie, Bland. Bland put together a good round yesterday. That is at 7:07 Pacific. Matsuyama and DeChambeau scheduled at 7:29.
Man. Mats might be in for a good weekend, man.
That'd be something else, huh?
He gets a little Aaron off the tee sometimes, but I like his approach game a lot. And, you know, it's the two things, right? It's sometimes a little Aaron off the tee, and the putter can be a little wakey.
Sure.
You know, but other than that, he's got a really solid all-around game. Strikes the ball really well. Been great approaching the greens. His iron play has been solid.
We will find out, I guess, how they're going to operate today with the guys who have to finish their rounds. For example, like Rahm, Reed, Leishman, they go at 7:51. DJ, they're supposed to anyway, DJ, McIlroy, and Rose at 7:51 Pacific time. And then later on in the day, I couldn't believe the round that Matthew Wolf put together. I would not be surprised if you can find, like, make or miss the cut. Like, Matthew Wolf, if you can still find that, guys to miss the cut today, he could put together a 4-under today, or probably a little bit more likely, he could put together a 7-over.
Yep.
His round was absolutely bonkers. It's kind of who he is. So if you can find make or miss the cut and some decent money on him to miss the cut right now, maybe that's not a bad bet on Matthew Wolf.
Strokes gained total, he was 12th in the first round of the entire field. Top 10 in strokes gained tee to green, top 10 in terms of strokes gained off of the tee, top 10 in terms of strokes gained approach, but 124th around the green and 68th putting. Like,
that's just
so insane.
Yep, absolutely. I do not expect good things from him today. Maybe I could be proven wrong. Later on then, you brought up Morikawa. I'm sorry. Morikawa is 1:14 Pacific time along with Thomas and Koepka. And then Homa, Schauffele, and Mickelson are about 20 minutes after that.
Yeah.
I'd like to see Koepka, betting purposes here, Koepka and Schauffele on that leaderboard for a long, long time this weekend.
Yep. Surprised by how bad Morikawa's been.
Yeah, that was not a good run from him yesterday. I did not see that one coming. Now I'm on him to win this tournament as well. Follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We'll tell you what we're betting with our in-pocket plays coming up next.
To determine the winner of any given college basketball game.
Someone gives you 10,000 to 1 on anything. You take it. Take it. Take it.
I'll bet you 20 bucks I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3 to 1 odds.
Nope.
5 to 1.
Nope.
10 to 1.
You're up.
Time for in-pocket plays. Had a good week in Major League Baseball. Last night was my first loser of the week. Can't win them all, JVT.
But you could.
I had the Reds. If you missed what happened last night, I had the Reds plus 159 against the Padres. And it's like scoreless after five. Miley is dealing. The Reds had like six guys on base in the first four innings. Couldn't crack the code. Couldn't score one run. Yeah, I'm not complaining. I'm just telling you what happened in the game. And then Miley's first two hits that he allowed last night, solo shots. Tatis, Machado, it's 2-0 Padres. I tap out of the game after the Reds do nothing in the eighth. And then all of a sudden, yeah, okay, you know what happens. The Reds, they scored four times in the top of the ninth, looking good to cash that ticket. And then, bottom of the ninth, they give up a two-run shot, and it's not even over with at this point. And then another two-run shot. Padres eventually win 6-4. It goes from 2-0 Padres to 6-4 San Diego with the win. And all of that with what took place, Padres still somehow cover the run line, and then it goes over the total yesterday.
Eight runs in the final frame.
That is sick, man.
It's so ridiculous.
This sport is just, it's not easy to beat. I am on, give me the Rockies team total today, over 4.5 runs. I would prefer a first five team total today. Yeah. I haven't seen it yet. So, in this segment here, betting it, Rockies team total over 4.5 plus 112. This is simply a fade of Corbin Burns.
Yeah.
And we saw what happened in his last start when his spin rate was way down. And, evidently not using the sticky tack, spider tack, whatever, the rosin, the sunscreen. So I'll take a chance. And the Rockies, by the way, they scored 7 last night, got a bunch off of Woodruff early. They're a much better team at home than they are. They're a disaster on the road. actually decent at home. So I'm going to war today with Colorado over 4.5 runs.
Yep. By the way, you know, covering the NBA, hear so much about how the regular season is impossible. Watching baseball last night, don't know how you feel comfortable in Major League Baseball.
It's difficult, man.
It's
by the way, sorry,
insane.
Updated baseball record now, 27-17-1 plus 13.33 units on the year.
So for me, like, you know, I'm pretty involved in this Clipper series already before everything started. You know,
yeah,
I got them
at
plus 140. I got off of it a little bit with a Jazz plus 145 series price after game 5.
Oh, did you?
So locked in a little bit of something there and see what happens. Also with Philly, I got Philly at minus 110 to win the series, and I got the Hawks at plus 460 to win the thing, to lock in a little bit of something there too. So for today, just go baseball. Like, I think, you know, part of my big handicapping strategy in baseball is looking at some of these underlying numbers and seeing what's happening in terms of maybe some positive regression comes for some guys. And Joey Lucchese has not been off to the greatest start. 5.18 on the ERA over 33 innings pitched. But at this point right now, if you look at it, xFIP right now, 3.95. Some really solid numbers for him. Getting a little unlucky. A strand rate of under 60% and something that you would think is a little unsustainable. But across the board, right, striking out guys at a relatively solid rate, not walking at a massive rate either. And hard contact and the home runs are something he needs to get a little bit luckier on. But I think there's a lot of stuff there for Lucchese, who in his past has been a majority of a ground ball guy. But over the last, 33 innings or so of this year, has been more of a fly ball guy. I think there's something coming for Lucchese that's in the positive. And on the other side, I get Joe Ross, who is, I'm not the biggest fan of him. And I think there's some numbers that indicate that he's pitching a little above his ski. So give me the Mets at a small plus price, plus 110 here at Circa.
I thought about having the Mets on my card today as well. Yeah. I may add them a little bit later on. I was going to go, if you can find, it's probably not going to find it anywhere, but Cardinals, Braves, I think we're going to get some runs in this game.
Yeah.
It's Carlos Martinez going today for the Cardinals. He is like Matt Harvey light. And Fried hasn't exactly been Cy Young either. And so it's 5, though, for the first 5. You got to get 6 runs to win that bet. It's a no-go for me. But I would not be surprised if we get some runs in that match today early and often. If you're a horse racing fan, First Bet is the place for you. With wagering on races at more than 300 tracks and AI-assisted picks, it is the easiest way to bet on your favorite sport. With secure payments, attentive customer service, and a reliable website, all brought to you by ExpressBet. Sign up using the promo code VEGAS100 today and get up to a $100 match bonus on your first deposit. Visit vsin.com/horses for details. That's vsin.com/horses. Promo code is VEGAS100. We haven't even mentioned the Montreal and Vegas hockey game yet tonight. We'll have Lou Finicaro on the program coming up in about 6 minutes or so. He's been doing really well betting hockey. We'll talk some hockey with him and some UFC. But I brought this angle up yesterday. This is kind of a quick turnaround, all things considered, right? JBT, like,
yeah,
they went from playing a game on a Wednesday night that got done here around, you know, give or take 8:30 Pacific time. Then, you know, the two teams have to fly to Montreal, which is a 5-hour flight, and you're going to lose 3 hours on top of that. So now they're playing again already tonight at 5 o'clock Pacific time. Kind of a quick turnaround. I would not be surprised if we have, you know, both teams are a little bit sluggish here in the first period. I don't hate the first period under tonight, a goal and a half between these two teams.
Yeah, I think the one thing that would be...
And by the way, like, these two teams are trending under in their games anyway, overall, yeah, for the games.
The thing that has stuck out to me for Montreal, though, has been, like, in that first game, they were great in that first period. Like, they were
really good.
Incredible. They were skating circles around Vegas. Shot share was very much in their favor in that game. Generated quite a few. I think it was 7-1 in terms of the high danger chances. And then again, in this last game, too, like, the first periods have been pretty strong for Montreal in terms of what they've done. They've dominated the shot share and the high danger chances in both games up to this point. So I wonder how much of that is schematic. Whatever it is, they've been getting off to really, really good starts, Montreal.
Yep.
So that would be the one thing that gives me some trepidation, but I do wonder how much that carries over in this game, because that has been consistent. You know, while they have split these two games, Montreal has consistently been the better team in the first period.
And they have been playing really good hockey once they get the lead.
Yep.
Like, I think you could argue that the first goal of the game tonight is going to be gigantic, and see how it plays out after that. But, you know, if Montreal, if they split here at home, which I don't think would shock anybody, right? If they split,
mm-hmm,
I mean, it's the NHL playoffs. I mean, these series can all go 6-7 games. But if they win tonight, I can't wait to see what the adjusted series price would be on the Golden Knights at that point, right?
Yeah.
I mean, beforehand, the Knights were -$5, -$5.25, biggest favorite in this round of hockey since like 1990. And then after game one, here in Las Vegas, they were like -$11.50.
I'm surprised the lack of respect the market is giving them. Even, you know, you split a series, you take home ice, you go back home, and you're still plus 265 in that range if you're Montreal. Sure. Still laying well over $3 for Vegas. Like, it's the Montreal's gotten to this point because they've been really good, but the market, it seems from a perspective of the prices that you've been seeing, has been kind of slow to keep up.
Yep, you can get in touch with the show. Email is ftm at vsin.com. It's ftm for follow the money at vsin.com. Twitter has been fun over the last 3 weeks. Well, it's at VSIN Live, at Mitch Moss Radio, and at me, JVT. Lou Finicaro is going to be on the program coming up next. He'll join us. I want to see if that theory about maybe being a little bit sluggish, if he can co-sign on that, if he's on board between these two teams tonight in hockey. But also UFC card that we have over the weekend. I know that he's going to have a couple opinions on these fights. We'll find out who he, by the way, crushed the card last week. We'll find out who Lou likes tomorrow night in the UFC coming up next. For the DraftKings Sportsbook now, get a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Download the app, sign up using the promo code VSIN, and get started with the only top-rated sportsbook that matters. DraftKings, you can bet on it. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, it's 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for full terms and conditions. Lou Finicaro joins the program now. You can read him every single week, Point Spread Weekly, his breakdowns of the UFC. First of all, Lou, I mean, you absolutely destroyed the UFC card last week. That was sensational. Was that, I don't know, was that one of your better cards like recently or ever? I mean, that was sensational.
Thank you for having me on, guys, and thanks for bringing that up. That was a great card. I believe that my press access, which allowed me to participate in the fighter interviews Wednesday, the main event, the three main event interviews Thursday, and then the weigh-ins on Friday. I got to see beyond what the scope of the TV allows me to see and see the periphery. And I believe that exposure really helped me. I'll be attending, representing VSIN for 264 in Las Vegas at T-Mobile. So I'm hoping that I can try and replicate that effort again.
That is excellent.
Yeah.
Okay, so then let's look at, before we get into hockey, let's get to the UFC card this week and tell us, you know, what you like, who you're looking at. I know Ige is back in action. He takes on the Korean Zombie, and I think Ige was maybe catching a small plus price or was right around pick'em. I know that you're a fan of Dan Ige. Do you like him tomorrow?
I do like him tomorrow, okay. And when we wrote him up Tuesday on Point Spread Weekly, he was minus 110. He's now sifted up to about minus 120 or 125. These guys are pretty evenly matched, size, weight, everything, but I think the fact that there's a little age difference and activity difference. Korean Zombie is about 5 years older than Ige, and he's had three decent fights in the last 3 years, and Ige's had six fights in the last 3 years with really high quality, high caliber featherweight talent. Zombie's fighting style is heavy power, heavy striking, and if Ige gets bullish and walks into one, he can definitely get hurt. However, his feet are way better, and the Zombie at 36, 35 years old doesn't have feet in his prime. So this will be Ige moving in and out, I think, exposing the Zombie late, and I do look for Ige to win.
Ige to win, okay. How about Sergey Spivak versus Alexei Oleinik, and Spivak here is the favorite at minus 225. Oleinik is around plus 190 as the dog, and the round prop here is 1.5. And I was looking at a decent plus price, I believe. Over is plus 135, under is minus 155. What do you think of this match?
We have two fighters from the Ukraine. One is about to be 44 years old, and the other is about 26. The 26-year-old Spivak is a big power puncher, and he's trying to make a name for himself. And Oleinik was fighting. It started his pro career before one or two of the fighters on this card was even born. If Oleinik can find a way to get this monster Spivak, who's limited on skills, to the floor, the fight will be his. However, I look for Spivak to just be too big and strong, keep Oleinik on the outside, and eventually touch him. And if you sneeze on Oleinik, he'll go. And I look for the angle in this fight, Spivak inside the distance, minus 110, minus 120 might be the way I would pursue this fight.
Inside the distance, yep. Okay. Noted. Those are excuse me, your two write-ups that you had in Point Spread Weekly. Anything else that you like on the card? Round props, any other fighters down the list?
Yeah, Matt Brown, Diego Lima. Brown taught Lima how to fight a million years ago. Now student against teacher, it's going to be a firefight. That fight, I don't think, goes to the distance. Does not go the distance, is plus 110. There's a decent angle for you. And then down on the card, Julian Erosa has come back to the UFC. He's fighting at 145. He's fighting a South Korean by last name of Choi. Erosa's got great experience, yet people overlook him, and he's had a little bit of momentum. I think as an underdog, he opened plus 100. Now he's plus 125 or so. That thing might continue to climb, and I would look for Erosa to be a live underdog tomorrow.
Okay, very good. It's Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Our guest is Lou Finocchiaro. Follow him on Twitter. He's at Gamlu. I want to throw some numbers at you, and then my theory that I also had in the previous segment regarding game three tonight of the Canadians going back home against the Golden Knights. First of all, the under is 3-1-1 last five for Montreal, 7-3-1 in their previous 11. Golden Knights are 4-1 of the under their past five. And I said that, the game got over with kind of laid out here on the West Coast on Wednesday night. Long travel spot, five-hour flight, then, you're losing 3 hours with the body clock. And now kind of a quick turnaround, and I said, maybe both these teams come out, they're a little bit sluggish here tonight, and we get a first period under, and these teams are trending under anyway. Do you think there's anything to this? Am I a dummy? What are your thoughts?
I think everything's valid, and you have to consider everything, so there is no dumb proposition, in my opinion. I don't know that the rest will affect them because it's not one team undergoing
sure.
the travel.
Yeah. Yep.
It's both. I think where I would go on this one is the protocol, because the Canadians have been used to the intensive Canadian protocol going in and out of the country, and the Knights haven't, not once. This is the first time. So I would be more worried about that, honestly. But I think both of them carry some fatigue into the game, but they also carry the drives that since they were 5 years old, they want to win a cup. So I don't look at them being unrested as any detriment.
Lou, what have you made of the starts for Montreal? Because the one thing that stuck out to me is the fact that, like, in these first periods, they have completely outplayed Vegas, like 15-2 in terms of high danger chances through first two periods. They've dominated the shot share. What's been behind these fast starts?
Montreal's realization that they must score first. They're 9-1 this postseason when they score first, and yet when you look at Vegas, they've been outscored in the first period by 7 goals. Yet in the second and third period, they hold a plus 19. So Vegas must address their start, and Montreal must continue to open up with all guns ablazing to try and get that lead. One angle tonight might be interesting. We're looking already. The lines kind of sift into Montreal. I have Montreal opening plus 155. They're now 145. So Vegas, I'm seeing minus 160 or so. Yet, Vegas to score the first goal, minus 145. So if you maybe want to squeeze a couple of cents of advantage out of that, Vegas knows that if they score the first goal, Montreal's gears get kind of ground down, and there's a stick in them, and mm-hmm. they're not as efficient as always. I think that's the same thing with the Islanders as well. So I look for Vegas to open up hot tonight.
Okay. You had the Canadians last game, right?
Yes, I did.
Okay, all right. So what would you...
I was,
yep, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was of the belief that if they were going to win a game, it was this one. And I surely favor Las Vegas in these games up in Montreal. Now, which way is it going to go? I think that we're going to get some love for Montreal tonight. We're already seeing it in the line. I'm going to wait and be patient, see how low I can get Las Vegas. But I think they're the better team, the deeper team, and the more dangerous team that's going to move on.
Okay, so if you get a low enough number tonight and they win, making the game four number maybe a little bit higher on the Golden Knights, would you consider the Canadiens then to get one at home? Or, as you said, game two was the only one that you expected them to win?
No, I would sit that one out then and be patient and try and start to manipulate some of my series bets and future bets with the Knights.
Okay. Anything that you like in game four with New York and Tampa?
I think Tampa just got done beating New York at their own game last night. That's humiliating. You can turn the faucet on a little bit, or you can turn it on full blast. Tampa can play either way. I think they're a team with their ears pinned back and have a definite focus to try and repeat.
Who would you like in a Stanley Cup final between Tampa and the Golden Knights?
I've already made my position for Tampa Bay. We have them a couple of different ways in future markets. After game one against the Islanders, they were plus 300, and I gobbled up as much of that as I could. Puck put it on the Gamblu webpage, which is accessible to all, and I'm all about Tampa taking the thing home this year.
Very good. And to repeat then, okay, yeah. Again, you can follow him on Twitter. He's mentioned the website. He's on Twitter as well, at Gamlu. We love talking to you, pal. Good luck this weekend.
Nice, Lou.
Thanks so much for having me on, guys, and good luck to everybody.
You got it. Yeah, that the press pass working wonders for him last week.
Inside info, huh?
Dude, see, this is why, like, betting dogs, and he, you know, it's not like 100% dogs for Lou.
Right.
It's close, though. Like, it's a lot of dogs. And when they come in like that, like they did last weekend, I mean, it's just like... The units just keep racking up like this, and he was all over Moreno. He said it on our show. I think you were filling in on my guys last week, and he was telling every possible person in our VSiN audience, you need to run to the window, as we used to say now. Mm-hmm. But you know, don't walk, run, fire up the app, bet this guy, and he nailed that. It's a great call. But that wasn't the only one. He nailed like three or four other dogs in the card.
Real quick before we get out of here, I should mention that there has been a pitching change. Joe Ross is not scheduled to start for Washington. It is going to be Eric Fetty, UNLV's own. Handicap stays the same, though. I like a lot of what Lucchese brings to the table for some of the underlying numbers, and the price is still out there, plus 110.
Okay. All right. What's the rest of your day looking like?
Let's see. You got some local jobs. I got to record the podcast. We were a little delayed yesterday.
100 handicappers?
So, oh, yeah. So, busy day today. And then some Japanese tapas later tonight.
You're going to make it a full day out in the town?
Oh, yeah.
Are you really?
Rocking and rolling, baby. It's Friday.
Wow. Okay. All right. I'm excited. It's going to be 115 degrees. This is going to be a pool day.
Yeah?
You know what? Social media now has been like a thing for a good decade. Do we have to get pictures of the temperature and the forecast by 1,000 people every day? Is it necessary at this point, or do we get it?
Did you not know that it was 115? I gotta tell you.
I like the heat. Yeah. I don't mind it.
I mean, I mind it, but I also don't want it. I'm with you on the social media stuff.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of pool action today and this weekend, I think.
I'll be over later.
Good luck with your bets this weekend. We're back on Monday. We'll see you.
Oh, big golf, huh? All right. Well, see you later.